Returning to the letter to Philemon in the New Testament, it comes just after Paul's letter to Titus and just before the letter to the Hebrews, the little letter to the man called Philemon. And I want us to read this letter. It, of course, is only, as it were, the one chapter in our book. You will know many of the letters are divided up into chapters, but this is just one a complete chapter, as it were. And of course, when all the letters were written initially, they were just one complete letter. But we're going to read here from Paul's letter to Philemon. And in the opening verse, it says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy me that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him for ever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repent, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And again, we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let us just pause again for a moment in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to your hearts through his word today. Heavenly Father, once again today we want to thank thee for thy word. Thy word which is truth, and thy word which has a message for us at all times, an application to your hearts. So I pray that thou wilt speak through me today, that thou wilt speak through thy word, that thy Holy Spirit will speak to every individual who will hear this message. We pray that thy word will be hidden in every heart, that we might not sin against thee. And again, we remember every need of every individual who will listen on. Lord, every spiritual need, whether it's a need for salvation, a need for restoration, that need for growth and grace, every temporal and bodily need, those who need a touch upon the physical frame, we commend them to thee. Those who need comfort in their hearts, for in recent times have been bereaved of loved ones. Lord, we just commend to thee our land, our nation. We commend to thee our congregations. We commend to thee thy work. Lord, in these days, be pleased to continue to build your church. Bless us now as we meditate upon thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This letter from Paul to Philemon stands out in many ways from the other letters of the New Testament, because it is a very personal letter from Paul to the man called Philemon. His wife, Philemon's wife, is also mentioned, and probably his son, and the church in their house. Now you will know that most of the letters penned by Paul in the New Testament were written to a congregation of God's people. And of course, in those days, congregations generally assembled together in a house rather than a church building as we do in our day. You can think of the letter to the Romans, the two letters to the Corinthians, the letter to the Ephesians, and so on. And they contain teaching for the church, and they would have been read to God's people as they assembled together to worship. We can think of Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. While they were addressed to individuals, they contained teaching concerning the working of the local church. But this letter to Philemon was a very personal letter, about a personal matter upon which Paul desired Philemon to act. A man called Onesimus, who had been a servant or a slave in the house of Philemon and had been on profitable in the past, had departed, had taken that which belonged to his master, had eventually ended up in prison, where obviously Paul met him. And under Paul's ministry and witness, this man had come to Christ for salvation. Paul was sending this man Onesimus, probably upon his release from prison, back to Philemon with his letter, desiring Philemon now to receive him as a brother in the Lord. And there are so many important truths which can be drawn from this letter as we consider it even now. But I want us particularly to focus in upon Paul, who wrote the letter, and his main purpose for writing. And so I want you to see in the first place that Paul was writing from prison. This letter begins with these words: Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You will know from the record of the Word of God that on more than one occasion, Paul found himself in prison for the cause of Christ, for the cause even of preaching the gospel. In verse 9 of this little letter, you will find Paul writing, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Of course, the Lord Jesus hadn't put him into prison, but he was in prison for the cause of Christ. And he certainly was not ashamed of that. You will find in the verse 10, he writes, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." He was in bonds for the cause of the gospel. Again in verse 13, he writes about the bonds of the gospel. In verse 23, he writes there, "Salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." Here was someone else who was in prison with him for the cause of Christ. Now, many people have found themselves in prison over the years for many different reasons. But for Paul, he had not committed any crime worthy of imprisonment. Rather, it was those who were opposed to Christ and the gospel he preached that felt that prison was the place for Paul. Paul did not waste his time in prison. Because not only this letter, but some of the other letters that we read in the New Testament were penned when Paul was in prison. You take the time to read through the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the church at Colossae, and you'll be left in no doubt that Paul was writing from a place of imprisonment. The second letter which Paul wrote to Timothy, which we believe was the last inspired letter that he wrote, you'll find again Paul was writing from imprisonment. He was in prison for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus himself was made a prisoner in the events which led to his crucifixion. Others in the record of the Word of God were imprisoned for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of the truth. Think of Jeremiah the prophet. Think of John the Baptist. Think of Peter and some of the other apostles. Think of John when he wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner in the sense he was exiled to Patmos. And still to this very day, we are to remember those that are in bonds, because there are believers in prison at this very moment, in some parts of this world, for the cause of Christ and the gospel. But as I thought of Paul writing this letter from prison, I thought of the fact that if you are not saved, you are a prisoner in a different sense. In a spiritual sense, you, of course, are much worse off than if you were simply a prisoner in a prison now in this life, in this land or some other place, because you're a prisoner to Satan and to sin. You're in bondage, you're taken captive by the devil. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, Paul was writing of some who needed to be brought to repentance. And he wrote this, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, if you're not saved, you're in bondage to Satan and sin. In that sense, you're a prisoner. And you're in danger of ending up in that prison from which there'll be no release, that terrible place called hell. Thank God then for the gospel and the news that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to come into this world and to live a sinless life on behalf of those who would trust him. And then to go to the cross at Calvary to suffer and die and pay the price that we might be released as sinners from the bondage of Satan and sin. And that we might never end up in hell, but rather someday end up in heaven. But of course, you must come as an individual sinner and turn from your sin and trust in Christ to experience such deliverance from the bondage of Satan and sin. In the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, in some of the prophecies concerning the coming Savior, we read language that speaks of the Lord Jesus delivering prisoners from their bondage. And we're thinking, while the language is used, is talking about spiritual things, but how in salvation we're delivered from being prisoners to Satan and to sin. For example, in Isaiah 42, we are called by God to behold his servant. And we read in what is said concerning the Lord Jesus, that God had put his spirit upon him. And we read in these verses, for example, in Isaiah 42, verse 7, how the Lord was given to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And it's talking about sinners being in bondage to Satan and sin. And yet Christ would come to bring prisoners from the prison, to bring those that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what happens in salvation. Again in Isaiah, this time in chapter 61, the verse 1, it's as if it's the Lord Jesus speaking himself in this prophecy. He's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted," listen to this, "to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's what the good news of the gospel declares, that Jesus Christ came to open the prison to them that are bound, to bring us out of the bondage of Satan and sin. The Lord Jesus is the one who breaks the chains of counsel sin. He sets the prisoner free if you will come and turn from your sin and trust him as Lord and Savior. Coming back to Paul's letter to Philemon, not only do we see that Paul was writing this letter from prison, but I want you to see in the second place how Paul prayed in prison. I'm saying Paul did not waste his time in his imprisonment. And he's writing this letter from his imprisonment to Philemon, and he's letting Philemon know that he was praying for him. Verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all his saints." So Paul is relating to Philemon that he is always remembering him in prayer. "Making mention of thee always in my prayers." It's good to name people before God in our prayers. It's good to give thanks to God for others. He's thanking God for the evidence of the love and faith which Philemon had in the Lord Jesus, the love he had for his fellow believers. Paul heard about these things, and he thanked God in prayer. But he also asked God in prayer certain things for Philemon. Verse 6, "that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." That word "communicate" means to share, to be in partnership, to have fellowship. And Paul was praying that the communication of Philemon's faith, whether it be his sharing of the gospel with the unsaved and his witness, whether it be his communing and fellowshipping with other believers and encouraging and challenging them in their walk with God, whether it be even sharing in a practical way temporal things with others who were in need, that the communication of his faith might be effectual, that he might be an effective witness for the Lord. And as Paul related how he was praying this, he also pointed out in verse 7, he had great joy, great consolation in the love of Philemon. And he spoke of how the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. In their innermost being, they felt refreshed by the witness and the fellowship of this man, Philemon, by his testimony. You know, Paul understood the value of prayer. He prayed in prison for Philemon, but he was also conscious that he needed the prayers of others for him, including this man Philemon to whom he was writing. And at the very end of the letter, in verse 22, he wrote this: "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Paul knew Philemon was praying for him, praying that he might be released from prison. And he's saying to Philemon, "Will prepare for me getting out of prison, as it were, that I might be able to come and lodge with you. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Do you read through the other letters which Paul wrote in the New Testament? You'll find again and again, Paul emphasized to God's people that he was praying for them. He even told them at times exactly what he was praying for, as he did for Philemon. And he asked them to pray for him. In Romans 10 and 1, he wrote that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved. He prayed therefore also for the salvation of sinners. And if we are saved today, we ought to be praying for our fellow believers. We ought to be praying for the work of God. We ought to be praying for the salvation of sinners. And if you're listening and you're not saved, you need to pray to the Lord for salvation. Call upon him. Like the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Like the dying thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. Remember me in mercy. Remember me in grace. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. There's one final thought here from this letter of Paul to Philemon. Yes, Paul was writing from prison. Paul was praying in prison. But as we finish, I want you to consider how Paul, from his imprisonment, pleaded with Philemon through this letter. You see, in this letter, Paul had a very specific reason for writing, as he had in the other letters that he penned, which are part of God's word. He had some good news to convey to Philemon concerning the man Onesimus, who had been a servant or slave in the house of Philemon in the past. According to verse 11, this man had been unprofitable to Philemon in the past. Onesimus' name means profitable. He had not lived up to his name. He had been unprofitable in the past, but now he was going to be profitable to Paul and to Philemon, because Paul had met with him. And under Paul's witness and ministry, this man had come to know the Savior. This man in the past had been unprofitable. He had departed from his master's home. He had taken that which didn't belong to him. In verse 15 it says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season." And we also find in verse 18, "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that in mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it." He had come to know the Lord. We discover there in verse 10, Paul writes, "I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." And Paul's talking in a spiritual sense. This man was a son of the faith. He had been begotten in Paul's bonds. He had been born again of the Spirit of God. And Paul, obviously, Onesimus was being released and Paul could have kept him. And yet, Paul puts it here in verse 12, "whom I have sent again." Verse 13, "whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly." And Paul's sending Onesimus back, and he wants Philemon to receive him as a brother in the Lord, to receive him as if he was receiving Paul, to receive him forever. And so in that sense, Paul is pleading with Philemon. Verse 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus." He says there in the verse 15, "that thou shouldest receive him forever." Verse 16, "not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." Verse 20, "yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord." Verse 21, "having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou also will do more than I say." He's pleading with Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. And, you know, in what Paul wrote here, we have a great picture of Christ in the gospel. You and I, like Onesimus, are unprofitable to God by nature as sinners. We take our lives, which God has given us, to live for self and for sin. We owe a great debt to the law of God, a debt we can never pay. And yet the Lord Jesus came into this world, he lived for sinners, to provide a perfect righteousness for those who will trust in him. And on the cross at Calvary, as he offered himself as the great sacrifice for sin and shed his blood, and suffered in his soul the wrath of God, he paid the debt we owe. Paul was saying to Philemon, if Onesimus has wronged you, if he owes you anything, put that in my account. I repent. And you know, the Lord Jesus at the cross, as a sin bearer, he paid the debt that I owe God for my sin. He lived the life that I could never live. He died the debt. He paid in full my debt. And if you turn from your sin as a sinner and call on the Lord for salvation and trust in what Christ has done, depending that he paid the debt on the cross for sinners, you can go free. You can have your sins forgiven in God's sight. You can be brought into the family of God. You can be one of those of whom the Lord Jesus had said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And so this letter of Paul to Philemon has so many lessons. Let me ask you, have you received the forgiveness of God? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Are you living for God? If not, why not? Oh, take time to consider this letter of Paul to Philemon and the lessons that set before us. Thank you for listening to God's word today.